Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I've been promising you all week, we're talking turkey. Yes, the big holiday is coming up next week, Thanksgiving, and food, which is absolutely the ultimate of ultimate pleasures, is something that we're always going to want to talk about, especially when we're doing holiday preparations, and so many of us are so busy, we go, how can I make this simple but wonderful, and I'm so bored with that stupid turkey. What can I do that's different with that bird? Well, we're going to find out because I have a wonderful guest, Leo Pearlstein, and Leo has been on the show with me before, and we've talked turkey for the last 5 or 6 years. Leo, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Donna, and I'm busy as a paper hanger, whatever they call it.
I always say a one-armed paper hanger. And if I want to get dramatic, I say going up a ladder backwards.
Okay, anyway, that's something to remember.
Leo, you have got such a wonderful, wonderfully interesting life. You have interacted with celebrities over the years. You've been involved in PR with so many of them, Steve Allen, Dinah Shore, Mickey Rooney, Bob Hope, Groucho Marx, Vincent Price. I mean, Phyllis Diller. There's just so many people you've had the pleasure of interacting with. You've been associated with the food industry. And you were telling me before we went on air that you have been involved in some programs recently regarding food.
Well, yes, and we have two home economists and a dietitian and two chefs that we work with. In other words, they're not on our staff. They're consultants. They're ex-employees. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, we do every year, we sort of have a little conference, a mini conference in our office. Everybody comes in and we say, what are we going to do this year? And the funny thing is, we end up doing the same thing because it's so traditional that this is one holiday where the family expects to have the same thing they did last year, plus something new and contemporary.
Well,
so you do what grandma taught you to do or mom, and then you come up with something that your new daughter-in-law and daughter and son-in-law and so on have some new things. So it's a combination of the old and the new together.
Well, that's great. Now, you also have done some interviews recently where you've been involved with people that have said, hey, I want to have real nutritious stuff here. And sometimes when you hear about some of these recipes that people have put together that they say are heart healthy, you go, great, I think I'll pass it because my heart just isn't attracted to it.
Well,
it just doesn't taste good. So what have you got for us that we could talk about relative to people that might have certain dietary needs where they could really have good food and it's tasty? You don't.
Well, here's the deal. I think it's very important, and we do it at our. My niece has a whole two families, three families get together, and there are a lot of people, and some of them are seniors. And what we do, and we think every host should know what their guests' problems or opportunities are. And if somebody has diabetes or a heart condition or a vegetarian, you know about it in advance. Be sure you have something for them and show that you have. And what my niece does, which is so simple, you wonder why everyone else doesn't it. Everybody brings something, and one of the ladies, a couple of them bring sugar-free desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar-free pie, sugar-free Jell-O, sugar-free this or that. So my niece makes a little table tent, says sugar-free. Then we have some people that are not vegans, but practicing vegetarians, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a vegetarian stuffing, and we have several vegetables have no meat products or no dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts a little table tent out and says vegetarian. And then actually you go one step further, and you have a light dressing. We see actually on the back of Mrs. Cubison's box, we have what we call a light dressing, and frankly, it's very simple. What you do is you cut down the fat part, which is the butter or margarine, you just put less in it.
Mm-hmm.
Use less butter and more liquid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but you let the people know, number one, you think about them and you're trying to help them and it's tasty, and you let them know what you've got. Now, everybody knows that holiday time you sort of cheat a little bit. It's the one time a year and you're going to eat pretty much. That's a matter of personal discipline. I heard someone say that it's a 2,000 meal category with calories, which means you're getting all of your calories for the whole week in one meal, practically. Kidding. But you have a buffet, and you have to sort of use judgment on portion control. And frankly, if you see all of the goodies on the table, you just take a lot of everything, but you take smaller portions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's the way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another thing that you should do, historically, everybody's waiting for the turkey, and it's usually late. People are waiting and waiting, and the host puts out some hors d'oeuvres and appetizers. Well, what you should do is put out appetizers that are not filling. You don't want to fill them up.
Right.
You don't want to give fatty or hors d'oeuvres that they eat. It's better to give them veggies like crudities. You get celery and carrots and green bell peppers and jicama, and you cut them up and you put a dip in the middle of the thing. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and,
I do.
And you make it sort of, you got an interesting pick-me-ups without loading them up with calories. And even a dip, you can make a light dip. In fact, I picked up one. I don't have it in front of me, but I can remember. Morehouse Mustard, which is a big mustard company that they've been around for 100 years, they have a website, morehousefoods.com, and I always go, when I'm looking for recipes, and I pick some there, and they had a mustardy salsa, which was made with orange marmalade and orange juice and the zest of the orange and a little bit of vinegar and a little bit of honey. You measure it according to taste. You mix all that stuff together, and you simmer it for about 5 minutes, and it becomes like a salsa.
Wow.
You cool it off in the refrigerator, and then you surprise your guests with the veggie Lazy Susan with all these veggies, and instead of putting sour cream or yogurt or Lipton's onion dip, which is gone forever, you put this surprise dip in there. And it's just a fun thing. It's just a fun thing. And even if you really want to go one step further, even the chips you get, you can get no-salt chips, you know, you can get the tortilla chips or the little strips of tortilla. So each thing, you're sort of watching your calories and watching your salt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're doing your turkey, you get a turkey with a pop-up timer, so it lets you know when the turkey's done. That takes away the stress. And you season it. Turkeys are bland, so you have to season it. Most people season the top of the turkey, which is great. It gives it color and gives it sparkle. But the real seasoning is in the cavity. You put the seasoning in the cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick a seasoning. You know, people have seasonings in their cupboard from year to year. Maybe seasonings get stale, too. So this is such an important meal. You go out and you get a fresh bottle of seasoning. And they tell you that seasonings, there's a famous chef in New Orleans, Chef Paul Prudhomme, famous guy. He's the guy who has a cap and a beard. He's a chubby guy. He's really a nice man. He's really a terrific guy. And he's famous way before the Food Network and everything. So he came out, like several chefs did, with his own blend of seasonings. And I saw him at a convention, and he said, when you're seasoning a product, poultry, seafood, meat, choose the seasoning that goes with that product. They're so sophisticated now that you really be sure when you buy something, buy the poultry blend.
Mm-hmm.
But we're using, this year I'm using his. It's great. It's called Chef Paul's Poultry Magic. Now, if you look at the label, you should always look at the label when you buy anything. I even look at all the labels. You get a seasoning that's natural with no additives and no MSG in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you're not adding. Now, it's really, if you look at it, it's salt and it's herbs and it's spices and garlic and onion and paprika. Well, a smart producer of seasoning does not load it with salt. He gets the flavor from the other items.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cutting your salt down, and you're still seasoning the. And by the way, if I have a minute, here's a little tip. You know, on the turkey, between the skin and the breast?
Oh, yes.
You can cut the little membranes with a little knife, a paring knife, and put your hand in, and you make a pocket. You know what I mean? You keep pushing your hand in?
Oh, yes. I've done that many times.
So that's the best place to do your seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to be adventurous, you can cut up an orange or a lemon or a lime, a little thin slice, and put that in. You can cut up some herbs, your favorite herbs, chives, thyme, tarragon, rosemary, and this mustard. You can get your Morehouse yellow mustard and mush it in with this stuff. Push it in between the skin and the breast, and you've got an extra little zing on flavoring there.
I know my favorite is to mix herbs with butter.
You all definitely.
Yes,
in fact, I forgot about the butter, obviously.
Just like you said, yes.
That's one time when it's too. And incidentally, the chefs tell you most chefs use unsalted butter. The reason is a lot of everything else is salty already.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
And even Mrs. Cubison's stuffing, which cuts the salt down, you use the unsalted butter, so you're not adding extra salt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another tip. You guys up north, you've got lots of fruit, lots of nuts, lots of veggies. I mean, you're your state is a provider of fruit, apples and stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, very much so in the Northwest.
So
yeah.
We make a coastal recipe because it goes from California all the way up, and you can make either a fruit dressing or a vegetable dressing. Simple. And, for example, a fruit dressing, even though it's fruit, you have onions and celery in it. And by the way, you know in the produce department where they have the cut salads in the refrigerated part of the produce?
Uh-huh.
Last year, the biggest onion producer in California, Gill's Onions, came out with chopped onions and celery in little plastic containers. What a great idea. My wife hates to chop onions, and you don't have to worry about the skin or anything, and it's economical and it's fresh, and so you buy just a plastic container of the chopped onions and celery, and you put that into your mixture.
What a great tip for those busy gals.
It's a time saver, and it's easy. Now, you take, going back to the dressing, take a box of Mrs. Cubison's stuffing, and an easy rule of thumb is a cup of everything. You have two bags of Mrs. Cubison's and a cup of everything. Now, for example, you take your Washington apples, and we leave the skin on. It adds extra color. So you just chop up the apples, and then you get chopped almonds or walnuts or almost any type of nut that you like, and then you have your favorite dried fruits. You pick any dried fruit you like, or the more the merrier. Raisins, cranberries, prunes, figs, apricots. That's your choice. Now, you've just mixed all that stuff together. All you need now is the butter or margarine or oil. If you use oil, use a healthy oil like canola oil. And if you want to cut the calories down, here's another thing. You can practically cut the oil down to as little as you want, providing that you add more liquid. So it's a matter of taste and a matter of your own opinion as to how far you want to go.
Yeah, and you can use chicken broth.
Chicken broth is great, and here's a tip. You can take the chicken broth, use half chicken broth and half Martinelli sparkling apple cider.
Oh, I would never have thought of that.
It's like putting champagne
cider
in your stuffing.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a great idea. In fact, actually, we did a TV show the other day, and we didn't use chicken broth. We just used the cider. But it's a fantastic idea. It's a great idea. It's sort of a fun idea, too. And besides that, you've got this big bottle. You can serve the non-alcoholic drink to your guests.
Oh, that is wonderful. But I would never have thought about the sparkling cider.
It is great. It's so great. Now, you figure grandma's recipe, you'll stuff the recipe or you'll make it. And this is easy, this fruit recipe. Now, if you want to make it veggies, you follow the same procedure. And you put in addition to the onions and celery, you put in mushrooms or carrots or parsley or leeks or pick your favorite green vegetables. And just chop them up easy and put them in. So you either have a veggie or a fruit stuffing, and you put it in the casserole for a half hour in the oven at 350 degrees. If you like it moist, you take the cover off and take it out. If you like it crunchy, leave the cover off and leave it in for about another 10 minutes. So
that's
now
good.
If you want to be fancy, you can make stuffing muffins. I don't think there's a house that has kids in it that doesn't have a muffin tin in the house to make cupcakes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you buy the liners, the little paper liners.
Yes.
Put them in the muffin tin, take that same mixture of the stuffing, put it in the oven for about 20, 25 minutes, and when it comes out, you've got individual stuffing muffins. They're great.
And speaking of stuffing muffins, which is a mouthful when you try to say that pretty fast, what I want to say, Leo, is that in your cookbook, you have a recipe. You know, you've given us such wonderful tips here. There's a wonderful recipe for Parmesan and spinach stuffing balls, and I want to share it with my audience because so many times if people are going to be having a party and they have a buffet, that's something that I do frequently is have buffets so that you don't have to worry about passing things around the table.
Uh-huh.
People go in, serve themselves, and then we have a beautifully decorated table all set up.
Right.
And this is really nice, especially for a crowd, and you can double or triple this recipe. And I'm going to give this out quickly. The ingredients, then this is for four servings.
Right, it's a great recipe. It's been tested. In fact, it was provided by Mrs. Cubison about 50 years ago.
Amazing, and it's still popular today. You need 10 ounces of frozen chopped spinach, 10 ounces. You need 1 cup of seasoned stuffing mix, 1 cup of seasoned stuffing mix, 1 medium onion finely chopped. You need 3 eggs, and you want to beat those together. You need 1/3 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 1/3 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, and 1/4 cup of melted butter or margarine. This is what you do. It's so simple. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and the spinach, nuke it in the microwave for a minute. If you don't want to use the microwave, then cook it in, you know, on top of the stove, just so it's...
Right,
it's
just blanching is what you're doing.
Blanching is all you need. You drain it. You let it drain. Put it in your strainer. Let the liquid drain out. Allow it to cool. And then you take your cool spinach, put all of the ingredients, your stuffing mix, your onion, your eggs, your Parmesan cheese, and your butter, in a large bowl. You mix it all together, and you make them walnut size.
It's little balls.
Little balls, and put them on an ungreased baking sheet and bake uncovered for 15 minutes or until they're lightly browned. And that's it. And here you have this deliciously flavored dressing, and kids will just pick them up and pop them in their mouths like they're candy.
Oh, I think it's great, and it's colorful, and really, I'm glad you picked out that recipe. It's a great one.
It really is. But I've got to tell you, Leo, I have your recipe here for apple and bacon stuffed crown roast of pork. Now, in our household, pork is one of our favorite meats. It rates more than beef, although my husband would argue with me on that one. Prime rib is his favorite meat. But the crown of pork, if you wanted to do something different for a holiday meal, oh, it's so beautiful, and it just draws oohs and ahs from people. And this recipe of apple and bacon stuffed crown of pork, it is just absolutely amazing. Again, you have an oven at 350 degrees. You're going to need a 6 to 8 pound crown roast of pork, and the ribs are all attached. And your butcher will put it together so it looks just like a crown. And you salt and pepper the roast to taste. And you're going to need 1 clove of garlic crushed. And then the stuffing, this is what the stuffing is. You're going to need 1 pound of ground pork. And you want to make that lean ground pork. You need 3 cups of cornbread stuffing mix. That's 3 cups cornbread stuffing mix. You have 2 Granny Smith apples. You want to peel them, core them, and dice them. And then you need 6 slices of bacon, and you want to cook those 6 slices of bacon until they're crisp, and they will crumble easily. And you need 1 cup of fresh or canned corn kernels, drained, 1 cup of chopped celery, and 1/2 cup of apple juice or apple cider, and 1/2 cup of margarine. And this is how simple it is. You're going to need a shallow roasting pan for that crown roast of pork, and you do the seasoning with the salt and pepper, and you want to make sure you roast, you've patted it dry, and you have the garlic, and you rub the garlic all over the roast. And then the stuffing, you put all of the stuffing ingredients, that's the cornbread mix, the apples, the bacon, the canned corn, the celery, the apple juice, and the melted butter, mix it all together, and then pack it right into the middle of the roast. And then you're going to want to wrap the rib tips with aluminum foil and place a sheet of aluminum foil over the stuffing. And that's because you don't want that stuffing to dry out. You don't want the bone to dry out or
yeah.
in order to get too brown. And you're going to cook it for 2 to 2.5 hours. And it's at 350. And then after you've had it for 2.5 hours, just uncover the stuffing in the last 30 minutes of cooking. And you've got something that is just going to be terrific. And it is going to look just spectacular on your table. People are just going to wonder how you turned out something so beautifully. And there's the cider you were mentioning about in the dressing, and here it is in this one.
I'll be darned. I didn't even remember that.
So it is, it's something different. If you want to fix something different than the traditional turkey, and there's nothing wrong with turkey. I love turkey, and you've got a recipe in here for blackened turkey breast with jambalaya stuffing that makes anybody salivate. So, I mean, there's so many wonderful recipes that you've got. By the way, I don't mention this. This is Mrs. Cuppison's Best Stuffing Cookbook, and there's just so many things in it. Now, you've mentioned all kinds of tips, and I want to give out this recipe for the turkey breast, but is there something else you wanted to share?
Well, there's a couple of things that, well, during this week we were doing a lot of TV down here, and one thing that was rather interesting, getting back to the appetizers,
mm-hmm.
one of the hottest, newest trends, which is surprises the dickens out of me, but there's always, it starts by an in restaurant in Beverly Hills, you know, fancy in places.
Yes.
This fancy chef recommended that if the people would order the day before a sushi assortment, they could have that picked up or delivered from their restaurant, usually pick it up, and have that so the people don't eat too many heavy things ahead of time. And you have your own mini sushi bar, which keeps the people busy while you're in the kitchen. And so it was in the newspaper in the L.A. Times where the guy has, you know, you order, you call up, you give him an order for sushi, which is the little tiny bites,
mm-hmm.
doesn't load up. And then the trendiest sushi that they have now is uni, U-N-I, which is the roe of the sea urchin. Now, California is the producer of sea urchin, and they're not fishermen, they're divers. They dive down in the ocean, and they pick the sea urchins off the kelp and everything and bring them up in a big tub, and it is the gourmet caviar of the sushi, they say.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I'd never heard.
And that's the hottest trend. It started in L.A., it went to San Francisco, so a lot of the in places now are saying, order your sushi for Thanksgiving. And then to show off, you get the Cadillac of the sushi, uni, which is sort of a golden color item, and it's got, the Japanese have been buying it for years. In fact, up until just a couple of years ago, practically the entire California crop went to Japan because the Japanese think this is the greatest thing. So that's an interesting appetizer. There's another interesting thing. Did you see in the markets now, Reynolds, the foil people,
yes.
have a little box. It's a blue box, and it's called Reynolds Stuffing Sacks.
I don't think I've seen those.
Well, they're just coming out. And listen to this. This is about as old as Grandma is, because years ago, Grandma used to have cotton cloth,
mm-hmm.
cheese cloth, and put it in the turkey
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
to
really?
Make things
My
easy for her.
Did that.
So years ago, well, this guy that was working with Reynolds came out with this American-made cheesecloth, first grade, wove it into a sock, like a big sock, big stocking.
Mm-hmm.
It's empty. You put the empty sock into the chest cavity, and you can also put it in the other cavity, too. And you put your stuffing in very lightly. Don't cram it in. And just fold the top over. You don't have to sew it or anything. And so when the turkey is done, after you've let it rest, ready to carve, you pull the whole sack out. You don't have to scoop the stuffing out with a spoon, which gets kind of messy sometimes. And it's the easiest way to stuff and unstuff a turkey. Pull the whole sack out, and you just empty it into a nice serving dish and fluff it up with a fork. And they also have in this box a little gadget. It's a little plastic thing about half the size of a pen that is a sensor. And you put it in the top of the stuffing, and it turns orange, which indicates that the stuffing has been cooked to 165 degrees. And the government tells you to kill germs and this and this and this, you should cook things to 165.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extra little goodie. It's kind of interesting. And it's, as I say, it, since it's sort of a Thanksgiving-oriented deal, I've seen quite a few stacks of it in the market, usually near the foil or near the turkeys. That's a pretty good idea.
Well, you know, Leo, with the holidays, I mean, what we're talking about today can be done. I mean, Thanksgiving is coming. We've got Christmas that's coming up. There are people that have parties. I had a friend suggest to me, since we weren't going to be able to get together between now and Christmas, she said, how about if we have a Christmas leftover party? And I said,
oh, listen, listen, we don't call them leftovers, we call them planned-overs.
Planned-overs, right.
You do, you plan, you know, you're going to have, you won't have any stuffing left, but you'll have turkeys left over, you may have some cranberry sauce left over, and there's certain things you could do. Do we have a minute? I'll give you a planned-over.
Okay, give me a quick one. We've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. You carve the turkey immediately, and you take the little pieces of turkey that don't look good, but they're good, and put them in a little plastic container,
mm-hmm.
put it in the refrigerator, and whatever slices are left the next day, you're going to do all sorts of things, but you can make a turkey wrap. Use your tortilla and whatever spread you want on it, whatever you want to put on it, and then you take these little pieces of turkey that are very good, but they just didn't look good, and you put them in the wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have some cranberry sauce left over, you put that on top, and you wrap it up, and you've got a turkey... A strange leftover thing.
Oh, there's so many ways to use the leftover.
By the way, there's an excellent website. I don't remember if I told you, thanksgivingtips.com.
Oh, that's a good one to know about.
It's easy to remember, thanksgivingtips.com. Everything you want to know about cooking, buying, thawing, carving, plus about a couple of hundred recipes of all kinds with stuffing and with go-alongs. It's a great, great website.
Well,
and it's consumer-friendly. It's easy to read.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, there's so much that is just absolutely delightful to talk about when it comes to food. Because let's face it, having good food and sharing it with friends and family, it doesn't get any better than that. It's one of the joys of life.
It's just great. And Thanksgiving and Christmas are family days. And today, this should even be more important, because it gives a chance to visit with the kids and the cousins and the moms. And I think, for me, Thanksgiving is the family day.
I agree. I think it is a wonderful time to be with those people that you love and to share. And again, I think food is such a wonderful, wonderful part of our lives, and we should enjoy it. And when you can have it, like you said earlier, if you just have the smaller portions, just remember, you can have a taste of everything if you want. Just don't overload. And I think that the flavor and having good conversation just makes it absolutely marvelous. And if nothing else, folks, to get the dog leaves out and the dogs and go for a walk.
That's exactly it. That's for sure.
That's for sure. I know that's what we do with our little Scotties. Out the door we go because they say, this is great. Everybody's out walking. Well, Leo, I know you and your family are just going to have a wonderful holiday season, and I so appreciate you being with us and sharing some of these wonderful, wonderful items. And I know we're going to be going on break in just a moment, and I'll be sharing with my audience your blackened turkey breast with jambalaya stuffing. I just love the variety that you have.
Oh, great. Well, look, you're a great fan and a great person to talk to. You're the easiest one I've found. You feel like you're in the living room talking to a neighbor.
Well, and that's what it is. That's what it's all about, because that's the way I want my listeners to feel. And, hey, it's just one of the joys of life, and that's one of the reasons why I do this show.
Well, that's great.
Well, Leo, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And is there a website that people can go to? Or do you just, I know Mrs. Cubbison's Best Stuffing Cookbook is something that you have put out.
Right. Actually, the cookbook is listed on thanksgivingtips.com.
Oh, good. Okay.
And also, just for fun of it, if they want to go to celebritystew.com, that gives you a little touch of celebrities.
Uh-huh, yes, and there's some wonderful recipes from some very, very famous people. Celebritystew.com.
Right.
And that would be wonderful. Leo, I wish you and your family the very best. Thank you for being my guest again.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I look forward to it, really. I just get a big bang out of it, and I enjoy every minute of it.
Well, thank you, Leo. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break and have that pad of paper and pen handy. I promise you, I'm going to give you that blackened turkey breast recipe with jambalaya stuffing. Good
Great.
Stuff. We'll
thank
be
you,
back
Donna.
In just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Told you we'd be talking turkey today, and I've got that recipe that we're going to be sharing with you in just a moment. But telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Or our direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, as I mentioned, I'm available if you wanted to chat with me. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the listening family here at BBS Radio, the Donna Sebo Show. I'm so delighted you're able to join me. And all I'll need, if you want to give me a buzz, is your first name or initial. Let me do my thing. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. By the way, I got an email from someone that wanted to have a reading. I've gotten a few from people, and I need to let you know I do not do readings via email. If you want to call into the show, that's fine. If you want a private appointment, all you have to do is call my office at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Or again, call me here on the air at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I don't do readings via email, so I just wanted to be sure that I let you know about that. Okay, got that pad of paper and pen ready? Oh, I know. You probably already have your menu planned out, but why not be aware of something a little different? And this blackened turkey breast with jambalaya stuffing, it's absolutely wonderful. Why? Because it is so easy, and you serve a delicious salad with it of your dressing and whatever, you know, whatever style of salad you want. It's not going to be real heavy, but it's different in taste. Now, here, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need a 2-pound boneless turkey breast half, and you take the skin off of it. And then you're going to need 2 tablespoons of melted butter, and then 3 tablespoons of Cajun spice blend. And by the way, this is perfect if there's just going to be like a family of 4, or if you're just a couple, and that way you don't have to fix the whole turkey. I found that this has been just wonderful for my husband and myself at different times, and it just eliminates a lot of hassle, a lot of waste. And people really typically like white meat. So again, you're going to need a 2-pound boneless turkey breast, half skin removed. You need 2 tablespoons of melted butter, and then you need 3 tablespoons of Cajun spice blend. Now, that's all you need for the turkey. Now, here's the stuffing. You're going to need 4 ounces of your favorite sausage. It could be Polish sausage, it can be a spicy sausage, whatever you want. You need 4 ounces of that, and you want to slice it. You want to slice it very, very thinly. You need 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of butter, 1 medium onion chopped, 1 small green bell pepper chopped, 2 green onions, slice it thinly, green and all, 2 green onions thinly sliced, a clove of garlic finely minced, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley. If you don't have fresh, you can use dry. 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley, 3 cups of cornbread stuffing mix, and if you don't care for cornbread, you can use regular stuffing mix. It's all in what your taste preference is. And then you're going to need 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of dried thyme, 1/2 teaspoon of dried thyme, and 1/8 teaspoon of ground clove. That's a tiny amount, but it makes a difference in the taste. Add 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves and 1 cup of chicken broth. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line, but I want to finish this so that we'll have it all done. So, caller, please be patient and wait. Now, you're going to need a 2-quart casserole dish, and while you're doing your preparation, preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Now, of course, you're going to rinse and dry your turkey breast, and you want to brush it with just enough butter to cover it all, and then you want to sprinkle with your spice blend. And if you want to make it easy, mix your butter and your spice together and just put it all together. You can preheat a large skillet over high heat, and you add the turkey breast and cook it for 5 minutes or until the first side is browned. But you don't make it a black brown. You just brown it lightly. You turn it over to the other side and cook for an additional 5 minutes until that other side is browned. Then you're going to take that turkey breast and put it into a roasting pan, place it in the preheated oven for about 1 hour. And if you use a thermometer in the breast, it'll read 170 degrees. Now, while the turkey is roasting in the oven, you take a large skillet, put it over medium heat, preheat it, add the sausage, cook that. That'll take about 3 minutes for it to cook up until it's lightly browned. Take the sausage out of the skillet, put it to the side, put your butter in the skillet, let it melt, add your onion, your bell pepper, your green onions, garlic, and parsley, and you saute that for 2 to 3 minutes, and the vegetables will just be slightly tender. Then you put in your stuffing mix, your chili powder, your pepper, your thyme, your cloves, the sausage that you took out, add everything into the skillet, stir it, and then add enough chicken broth to moisten it. Then you put your stuffing in the prepared dish, you want to cover it, and you bake it alongside the turkey during the last 40 minutes of roasting. You cook it covered for the first 10 minutes, and then you remove the cover for that last 10 minutes until the top is sort of crisp. Now, when you remove the turkey and the dressing, it's all going to come out at the same time, which is absolutely marvelous. Remember to let your turkey rest in the pan before you go to carve it or to cut it. And the reason you want to do that is so that the juices in the turkey will stay in the meat. And if your turkey, if you notice, if you've got a window in your oven and you notice the turkey's getting too brown or browner than what you'd like, just take and put a piece of foil over the top of it, and that'll keep the browning from continuing. So just know you can have a delicious meal. The taste buds will just be absolutely pleased with the results, and you will have a real, real fine meal. Donna Sebo here. This is the time to call, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller today. Thank you for waiting, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
It's YL from Concord, California.
YL from Concord. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The first thing that I am looking at with you is a lot of numbers. In fact, they're running in front of my mind's eye. And I think you are trying to figure out something that you want to do with money. And I'm getting a sense of time pressure. I am looking at what, am I going to have enough time to do what I want to do? Am I going to have enough money? What am I going to need to juggle over here on the left side to match up with what I want on the right side? And I look at this and I want to say, take a deep breath and relax a little bit here, because you're stressing yourself out unnecessarily. You need to be able to look at the facts. You need to look at what your time agenda is and make it okay that your time agenda can be a little bit more flexible than what you expect. I do believe you should have a backup plan should you find yourself coming up a little short of the capital that you may feel you need. If you utilize your backup plan, you're going to find everything is going to really actually work out quite well, because you will pretty much meet your deadline. But just having that in reserve and being knowing you have an alternative plan to shift to if necessary can make all the difference in the world. But you are one big worrywart. There, you need to relax a little bit. You need to know it's okay that you don't control everything. You are going to find that if you are able to release a little bit and have a little bit more faith in the capability of other people, that you're going to have things a lot more ease in accomplishing what you want to accomplish than what you normally would expect. So take some of this pressure off yourself. Learn how to delegate to other people and have enough faith that they are going to be able to do what needs to be done and done in the right way. There, you just can't control it all, hon. What is it you'd like to ask me about today?
Oh, okay. So I just recently got to know somebody, and I would like to know the future first.
You've just met someone? Is that what you said?
I just got to know somebody I really like, but I'm not so certain about the future first.
What's the person's first name?
It's with M.S.
Okay, with MS, I think you need to lighten up with this. I really do. I think you're trying to make this into something, or trying to determine that this is going to be it. And what's happening is that you're putting too much stress on yourself. You need to realize, and I say need to realize because I really mean that, that this is a person. This, I don't know, is the person. If you try to make this person into what they are not, you're going to be very disappointed. I would like to see you have some time to date the individual that you like them. That's wonderful. There's a lot of people you can like and not want to spend your life with them. There's a need for you to come to know this person and come to know the person's relatives, family, because it's going to make a great deal of difference to you. I don't know that this person is really wanting to get serious at this time. So I would like to encourage you to just be okay with where things are at this time and not try to make something happen. Or try to, how can I say this? Well, just leave it at that. Just try not to make something happen. It won't work well if you do. How long have you known this individual?
2 months.
Oh, my goodness. Dear, you haven't known him very long.
Yeah.
So
yeah, not
take
long.
Some time. Take some time. And if someone else asks you out for a date, go ahead and go on that other date.
Mm-hmm.
There's no commitment with this person at this time. You don't need to box yourself in.
Mhm. Okay. Yeah. Mhm. So it seems there might be some future for us, but there. So it's just. But we have to go and see. Is that right?
I would just relax about this. Don't try to make it into something it's not. This is not a saint here. This is a man, this is a human being, and he has his weak spots and he has his strong points, and you need to find out what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take some time.
Yeah, but we have long distances, so it seems really difficult to get to know each other.
Well, that's okay. Take your time. You're not in a hurry. The world is going to continue to spin. Believe me.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the end-all of end-all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, dear. You're not missing the bus. And you're not too old.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get stuck in the wrong thinking.
Yeah. I guess
I'm going to have to go, hon. I'm sorry. I've got to go on break.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment. When we come back, well, I've got some good things to share with you. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up next week. We're going to be talking with Russell Targ. Now, Russell is a repeat guest on my show. This man has been involved with remote viewing and the study of psychic ability on various levels. He's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And he and an associate have written a book called The End of Suffering. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Also, we're going to be talking with Dr. Iris Bell. I loved her topic, Chew on Things. It helps you think. For you animal lovers, it's just going to be a pure pleasure to listen to. And then we're going to be talking with Dorothy Brenninger. We're going to be talking about the senior organizer. And if you have loved ones in the family, I was talking with a woman this morning who was dealing with the fact that she's got an elderly member of her family that's beginning to go through signs of senility. And she said, we just need to get things in order. So I was telling her about the senior organizer. So I think you might want to be aware of it. It's something that's very good for a family to have anyway, but especially if you have older members of the family, knowing where things are, how to file them, et cetera, this really can be a blessing. Now, on the 22nd, that's Thanksgiving, I'm going to be celebrating right along with the rest of you with my family, and we are going to be playing a Best of Donna. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about animal nutrition. I have had the opportunity to talk with people who have lost animals due to contaminated food. And this has been a very big issue. And John D. Rowe is my guest next Friday, and so we're going to be discussing that. So much is going to be available to us in the way of knowledge and information. I know you're not going to want to miss it. So be sure and tell your friends. And again, we are here, and the shows are archived so that you are able to listen to the programming at your convenience. So if you've missed any of the Donna Sebo show, just know you're going to be able to, within 24 to 48 hours, you're going to be able to listen to whatever you will have missed. So if you didn't have that pad of paper and pen to write down the recipe, you'll be able to listen to it and do it at a later time. I wanted to share some information with you. And again, if you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Hormones. Now, this is a study that was done by Na Kyung Lee, and this came out in August of this year, and it was about the endocrine regulation of energy metabolism by the skeleton. Now, when I came across this information, I was astonished, and I thought, it is marvelous that people are able to really see the way the body works. We're discovering things about this human machine, this living machine that we occupy that are just awesome. There's a team of scientists that have shown that cells in the skeleton, which we think of as mere scaffolding, they create, they exude a hormone that helps the body to store fat and even regulate sugar levels in the blood. Now, we've been told that the pancreas is very important about this, but the skeleton? How could that be possible? Well, it has really been a big surprise. The reason being is that it totally changes the perspective about the skeleton. Now, bone is alive. Many times we don't think that bone is alive, but if you cut a bone, it bleeds. You need to understand that this is a whole different level of thinking. And with science and research and people investigating and with the technology being able to view things at the nano-size level, it is incredible what we're discovering. We're discovering the human body is even more awesome than we realized. Now, Gerard Carcente, who is a molecular geneticist at Columbia University in New York City, discovered that leptin, and that's spelled L-E-P-T-I-N, it's a hormone that's made by fat cells, actually helps to mold and repair our skeleton by acting upon bone-building cells called osteoblasts. Now, hormone signaling is something that's quite interesting. And this gentleman thought the skeleton might in turn influence the fat cells because of what it does. And he said to find out how, he turned to an engineered strain of mice that lacked a gene for what was then a protein they really didn't know very much about. And it's osteocalcin, which is produced by the osteoblast. Now, these mutant mice, they produced less insulin, the hormone made in the pancreas that helps cells burn sugar. And they were plump, and they were diabetic. These mice had high levels of glucose in their blood. Now, what they found is osteocalcin's role appears to involve regulating energy metabolism. So they said, okay, now we found out this piece of information. What other genes might be involved in this new signaling? So they worked with other strains of mice, lacking other genes that were especially active in the osteoblasts. And they found that the mutant type of mice were unusually thin, and they generated more of this osteocalcin, secreted more insulin, and produced many times more of the insulin-releasing cells in the pancreas. They also created 2 to 3 times more of adiponectin, which is a signaling molecule that enhances insulin sensitivity. Now, all of these things protected these mice from developing diabetes and obesity, just the opposite of the other mice. So they looked for all kinds of signals, and they found that the osteoblast component of the skeletal system had a direct role in regulating energy metabolism in ordinary animals. Now, why do bones do this? Why do they produce the hormone? They say it's due to our evolutionary past. One of the functions of the skeleton is to repair broken bones, but it requires a lot of energy because you have to very quickly reabsorb the bone and replace it. So So for bone remodeling to work, you need to be tightly linked to energy metabolism. This discovery, I think, is going to help them understand diabetes more, and they're going to be able to show from the research that the skeleton is an endocrine organ, and that is a big medical breakthrough. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever forget. Keep your mind open to new ideas, new concepts. This world is an exciting place to be in. And we may need something that you come up with. You don't have to be a scientist. You might be an inventor of a different type. Remember always, your life can be as exciting and as interesting as you want to make it, if you keep yourself open and you're always willing to learn. Take care. God bless. We'll be back on Monday, same time, same place, with lots of good things to share. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.